chapter number 1. This is our New Testament book that we are beginning an in-depth study of. And last Sunday morning, I simply introduced this book, and I've been studying on this message all week long and rejoicing in what the Lord has done for us. And I'm praying that the Lord will help me to accurately glorify and praise Him in this service. Because this is a service here where we introduce these opening words. We will not get through this today. I remind you that 75% of the book of John is of four letters. I'm talking about the words are four letters or less and of one syllable. Yet these words are indescribable. You cannot fully express them. I do not believe we will know exactly that all these words contain until we see Jesus face to face. It is a wonderful, wonderful book. We're asking the Lord to be glorified here today. Look at John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the light was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Look at verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came into His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What a powerful portion of Scripture. I'm preaching on John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and verses 9 to 14. And I lift out the key thought of these verses. You'll notice a phrase that's used over and over again. And it's the phrase, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. So I give you my title today, the Word, okay? Let's pray together. Father, we love You and help us, I beg. Help me, Lord, to get across what You have shown me in my study. Help us to rejoice in the fact that, dear Lord Jesus, You are the Word of God. Help us to understand this, to believe it, and help us to go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we begin our study of the gospel according to John. And I remind you that Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the synoptic gospels because they are similar in their writings. There's a lot of the similar stories, same stories, and we saw that as we did patchwork through Mark and patchwork through Luke. They deal with much of the same stories and events in their writings. That's why they're called synoptic gospels. But John is different. John deals with things that the other writers did not deal with. And we would do well to remember that John's gospel was written to show how Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the giver of life. The point of the book, going back to last week, is the deity of Christ. The proclamation of the book, if you remember last week, is to show how Jesus Christ is the answer to all of man's needs. The purpose of the book is to prove that He's the only way to heaven and to convince people to believe on Him and inherit eternal life. Now, realizing all of this, it is definitely appropriate that this book opens with an expression, an exposition, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, identified with the title, The Word. The Word is on display for us all throughout this book, but especially in these opening words of this opening chapter. The phrase, the Word of God, occurs often in the Old Testament. According to my study, it occurs over 1,200 times in the Old Testament. And the Word of God simply means God's message. The Life Application Study Bible, King James Version, put it this way. In Hebrew Scripture, the Word was an agent of creation in Psalm 33, verse 6. The Word was the source of God's message to His people through His prophets in Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. And the Word is God's law, His standard for holiness in Psalm 119, 11. That's Hebrew. In Greek philosophy, the Word, talking about the phrase, was the divine essence that held all things together. God's ideal pattern for creation. John's description shows clearly that he is speaking of Jesus Christ, a human being that he knew and he loved. But at the same time, the creator of the universe, the ultimate revelation of God, the living picture of God's holiness, the one by whom all things consist, in other words, in the being, in the person, and in the work of Christ, God is told out. God is revealed. God is manifested. Jesus is the Word of God. He is the outward show of who God truly is. Let me tell you something that I'm getting ahead of myself here. But in verse number 14, you'll notice that the Word became flesh, was made flesh. That phrase, was made, you know what it means? It means God stepped out on stage. That's what it means. In other words, before somebody comes on stage, they are invisible. You can't see them. But when the curtain opens and they step on stage, you can see them. So when the Word became flesh, God, the invisible, all-inspired God of the universe, pulled back the curtains and stepped on stage. That's what it means. That's Jesus. Now, this being the case, let me give you some things about the Word today. And I'm not going to even get past point one this morning. Number one, we see the Word reported. A report of Him, the Word reported. We see this in verses 1 through 5 and verse 9. Now in these six verses, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 9, there is a detailed report that's given concerning the Word. We know the Word is Jesus because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And may I say this, no one will ever fully describe these verses this side of eternity. It will not happen. It will not happen. But we're sure going to try. Amen. Let me give you several things about the report concerning the Word. Now the Word is who? Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. So anytime we're talking about the Word, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. What a report we have in these six verses. Let's look at it directly. Number one, under this. This is the Word reported, letter A. Here it is. The Word, first of all, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Notice it does not say, in the beginning was made the Word. It does not say, in the beginning was created the Word. It simply says, in the beginning was the Word. You know what this is showing? This is showing the Word is eternal and preexistent. Notice the beginning precedes the making of all things in verse 3. The making of all things comes out in verse 3. But in the beginning, before the making of all things, was the Word. What's this mean? The Word was. In the beginning was the Word. It is in the imperfect tense. You say, what's that mean? Now, I a lot of times do not refer to the original language in the tenses, but this is powerful here. This word was, you know what it means? It's in the imperfect tense, which means an action of the past that continues in the present. In other words, putting it another way, it can say this. In the beginning was the Word, is the Word, and always will be the Word. That's what it means. That's all in that little three-letter word was. In the beginning was, is, and always will be God. And we see He had no beginning. In this first report, this phrase, in the beginning was the Word, what he is saying is the Word is eternally God. That's what he's getting across. Second, Notice the Bible says in the beginning was the Word. Here's number two now, letter B. The Word was with God. Now here's where it starts. It's like, what? I'm telling you, this is the book of John, okay, friends? According to my study, the word with carries this idea. Face to face. Face to face. In other words, he's not below him, he's not above him, he's face to face with him. You know what this phrase is saying? By the way, we believe in the Holy Trinity. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And this is one of the many verses that show that God is one, yet he's distinct. This is the Son, the Word, Jesus Christ. He is not only, he was in the beginning, he is God, but he's also with God. He's with God. He's face to face with him. What's that mean? That means he's not only eternally God, he's equally God. This is what he's getting across. This is what he's getting across. What he's saying here is that even though the Son is distinct from the Father, they are yet one in nature and the same. See, the Godhead is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and it's been described like time. Time is one thing, but it's made of past, present, and future. And it's like this. It's three parts, yet one. It's been said that the Holy Trinity is not 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. It's 1 × 1 × 1 = 1. Now try to get to the bottom of that. Try to explain that. You can't wrap your head around it, friends. There's no way to fully understand this. But we can rejoice that the Word, Jesus Christ, always has been, is, and always will be God. And always has been, and is, and always will be with God. You say, where are you going with this? Just stay with me. We'll get there momentarily. John 10:30, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Yet they're distinct. So we see a report of the Word. In the beginning was the Word. He's eternally God. And the Word was with God. He's equally God. And just in case you're wondering, number three, the Word was God. Now what's that mean? Exactly what it says. It means that Jesus Christ is God. There is a false teaching going on today in other religions that try to teach you that Jesus Christ was just an example. He's just a good man. Yes, he was a good man. Yes, he did miracles, but he was just a good man that God used. Hogwash, trash, garbage, heresy. Jesus Christ is not just a good man. He is a man, but he is the God-man. He is God come in flesh. That's what he is. John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. That's what Jesus said. Revelation 1:1, talking about Jesus in context. I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. You know what the Alpha and Omega means? It means he's the alphabet of God. He's the beginning alphabet and the ending alphabet. It means that in Jesus Christ, God was speaking to the world and manifesting who he is. I'm telling you, so let that grip you. I mean, honestly, that Jesus Christ, the one who died on Calvary. By the way, these folks who are stepping out, that's fine. Let's keep them in the back of the auditorium, okay? Ushers, you help me with that, please. Got a lot of movement. That's fine. That's fine. We got a lot of movement. Let's just keep them back there, okay? Keep in mind that Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, he is God come in flesh. And he's walking on earth some 2,000 years ago, and it is God saying, if you want to know who I am, what I believe, how I love, what I'm all about, look at Jesus. He's the alphabet of me. Now, friends, are we just going to scrape the top of this book, or are we going to dig down and get everything in it? Can I say something to you? If we try to dig down and get everything in it, we'll be in this book now until eternity rolls around. By the way, I'm going for a central thought here. Just stay with me. Just giving you a report. John 20, 26 to 29 says this. And after 8 days again, his disciples were with him, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Remember the story when Jesus, the resurrected Christ, appeared to the disciples and Thomas wasn't there? And then they tried to tell Thomas that we've seen the Lord. He's risen again. Remember what Thomas said, unless I see him, unless I put my finger in the nail prints and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. So the Lord waited a little while, and then he showed up with Thomas in the room. And he showed Thomas that he heard every word he said, even though he couldn't see him at that moment, because when Thomas saw him, he said, "Reach hither your hand, your finger, put it into my hands. Bring your hand, run it into my side." You know what he was telling him right there? "I heard every word you said, Thomas." And when Thomas realized that, the Bible says, you listening to me? He didn't put his finger in his nail prints. He didn't put his hand in his side. He didn't have to. And what Thomas said in the infallible, inerrant, inspired word of the living God, he said, "You are my Lord and you are my God." Glory. Man, that's a blessing, isn't it? Hey, do you know Jesus? Is he living inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit? Then you have God in your life. God. Doesn't stop there. Look at verse number 3. This is just his report. Who he is. He was in the beginning, was the Word. He's eternal. He was with God. He is equal. He was God. He is God. Notice what verse number 3 says. All things were made by him. All things. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Now again, this verse says, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Now question, who's the him here? Who's the him? The Word, right? The Word. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So the fourth thing we see here is that he is the Creator. The form of the text in Greek is even more emphatic. Here's what the Greek says here, where it says all things are made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Here's what the Greek says: not even one thing. That's what it means. Now listen to this. Let this bless your heart. The scientist takes his or her telescope and focuses it on the reaches of space. Some of you have probably read some things like this, seen some things like this. Out there, we're told, are distances so vast that a special unit of measure is needed with which to express those concepts. The astronomer's yardstick is a light year. The distance light travels in 1 year at 186,273 miles per second. So in a year, that's, if you will, right here, this 186,273 miles per second, the equivalent of encircling the Earth at the equator 7.5 times. Now stay with me here. In round numbers, that's about 6 trillion miles. Our sun, by that yardstick, measuring it by light years, is 8 light minutes away. But out there in space are suns and stars believed to be billions of light years away. Nor can we count the stars or guess how many billions there are. Stay with me here. Some stars are large beyond all thought. The star the star Antares, for instance, could hold 64 million suns the size of our sun. In the constellation Hercules is a star that could contain 100 million stars the size of Antares. Are you thinking about this, friends? Our galaxy, the Milky Way, is 100,000 light years in diameter. It is revolving at a speed of 200 miles an hour. It takes 2 million years to complete one revolution on its axis. Not only are we awed by the size of space, but we're overwhelmed by the precision with which all these vast orbits pursue their appointed paths. Our planet, Earth, for instance, does not travel in a true circle. It travels in three directions at the same time. It revolves on its axis, it revolves around the sun, and its path is deflected by other planets. Yet it does not lose more than 1/100th of a second every 100 years. By the way, this just happened, friends. Let us turn from the world of the infinitely large to the world of the infinitely small. The building block of the universe is an atom. You know, an atom that's made of protons, neutrons, and electrons. Having a science test here, aren't we? An entity so small that each one is less than 150 millionth of an inch in diameter. An atom. 150 millionth of an inch in diameter. And if the molecules of a... Now get this. Let this... Look, how many drops of water are in this cup right here? Not as many as there were here in just a minute. If the molecules of a single drop of water, listen to this. If a molecule from a single drop of water could be converted into grains of sand, there would be enough sand to build a concrete highway half a mile wide and 1 foot thick all the way from New York to San Francisco. Did you hear what I just said? From one drop of water, one molecule in that drop of water, there's enough sand, if you could break it down, that would build that big of a bridge from New York to San Francisco. And here's what God's Word says. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. That means He created it all. That means He created you. That means He created the atom. That means He created matter. That means He created water. There was nothing in the beginning but God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And because of the Word of God, God spoke and the worlds came into existence. That is Jesus. That is God. That's the Son of God. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God says, God created the heaven and earth. Yet here it says, the Word created it. So it has to be the Word is God. Don't you see that? Let you rejoice in this. Are you listening to me? If something inside you don't go, whoop, whoop, something doesn't do that this morning, you better check yourself. Because I'm going to tell you something, friends. I'm about to have a fit up here. That the Word of God is the Creator God of the universe. And God, who created it all, pulled back the curtains, stepped on board, and let the world see Him. Why? Because He realized we could never make it to Him on our own. And He had to come in our place and die in our place. God became man so man could live with God. This is the Word. This is Him. You've heard the song. I'm talking about, you know, how the waves, you can hear the waves talking and it says, shh, that's Him. Talking about the birds singing and they saw Jesus step out and they said, shh, the birds hushed their singing. And you could hear them talking together and saying, wait a minute, that's Him. That's Him. That's Him. And if you know Him, you know God. Colossians 1, 16 and 17, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That word consist means held together. Do you realize what would happen if God removed his consisting power on this universe? What would happen if God didn't hold together the oceans? If God didn't hold together the atoms inside your body? If God didn't hold together the atoms inside of any kind of matter? If these atoms were not held together by glue, spiritual glue, this world would be chaos. God not only created it, he says it's the Word who did that, and it's the Word who keeps it all held together. It's the Word who helps it all consist. It's the Word that tells the ocean, you can't go past that. Don't do this. Don't do it. That's why when he went out on board that ship and that storm there, and he says he spoke to the sea. He spoke to the sea. Last time I realized, I didn't think water had ears. But the Son of God spoke to the waters and said, peace be still. God spoke. And the waves said, shh, that's him. And there was a great calm. He's the creator. He's the creator. He's the Word of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8, 6, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Hebrews 1, 2, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Let me give you one last thing here. We see that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made by him. Look at verse number 4. In him was life. In him was life. The idea here is that he is the source of life. He's the origin of life. He's the fountain of life. He's the cause of life. Listen to me, please. He doesn't just have life. He is life. Do you understand the difference? Life is not just something he has. It's who he is. He is life. John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 11, 25 and 26, remember the story when Lazarus was sick? And then before Jesus stepped on, I'm talking about on the scene, Lazarus had died and lain in the grave for 4 days. Martha comes out, she's brokenhearted. She says, if you'd only been here, Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother had not died. See, they wanted him on their time. He came on his own time. But they didn't realize at that moment, this is God. This is God. He stepped in, I'm talking about in town. Martha comes to him and says, oh, if you'd only been here. The Lord looks at her and he says, your brother will rise again. The Word had just spoken. Life had just promised life. And she misunderstood. We'll study this when we get to that chapter in this book. That's in this book, by the way. And when we get there, you'll see that she misunderstood him. She said, I know my brother's going to rise again at the resurrection at the last day. She thought he was talking about the future, you see. Here's what he said in John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. That's what he said. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? The Word who is life spoke to a grieving sister and said, your brother will rise again. Listen to me. When the word says it, it will take place. She thought he was talking about the future. He looks her right in the face and says, no. I am the resurrection. I am the life. And somebody who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You know what that tells me? That tells me Miss Joan Martin really never died. That faithful, soul-winning lady, by the way, had six precious people raise their hand at the funeral saying, I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. But that lady never died. Her body went to sleep, but she went to be with Jesus. Let me tell you why I know that. Because the Word said it. That's why I know it. The Word of God says in 1 John 5:11, and this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. You know what that means? You have eternal life? It's not a thing. He's a person. Do you get it? Do you see it? Do you see that? In other words, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. So if this life is in His Son and God's given us eternal life, then it means God has given us Jesus. Good night. Let that encourage you this morning. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now let me stop right here, make myself a note so I know where I'm picking up. But let me ask you a question. Do you believe what I read this morning? Do you believe that in the beginning was the Word? He had no beginning? See, in the beginning, He already was. You see what I'm saying? Do you believe that in the beginning the Word was with God, that He's co-equal with God the Father? Do you believe He was God, that He is, He was, He is, and He always will be the deity of the universe? He's God. He's the supreme God. One times one times one equals one. Do you believe that all things were made by Him? And that without Him, nothing was made that was made? Not even one thing? Do you believe that He is life? And that whoever has Him has life? Then let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you have Him? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? God stepped on stage in the person of Jesus Christ and said, here I am. He lived a sinless, perfect life, loving His enemies, fulfilling the law of God, and He went as a sacrificial lamb, a sinless substitutionary lamb to the cross of Calvary as God, yet man. As God, He could not die. As man, He could. So God became flesh, so the flesh could die. And God was enrobed in flesh. The same God who had no beginning, the same God I'm talking about who was with His Father equally in eternity, the same God who is God, the same God who spoke the worlds into existence, the same God who is life. That I'm talking about, the only reason you're alive today is because He has breathed in your nostrils the breath of life. He is life, and He walked on planet Earth. Why? Why? Same book. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me tell you why he came. Because he knows that man's trying to get to heaven their own way. And no matter how good they think they're making it, it never achieves perfection. The Word of God says we've all fallen short of the glory of God. You know what that means? It means nobody's like God. Nobody's perfect. I mean, I say this to you. If you're relying on yourself to get there, you'll never make it. Because one sin's enough to keep you out, because God is perfect and God is the standard. Man is not the standard. God is the standard. Perfection is the standard. Complete holiness is the standard. Which means if you are not perfect, you're not good enough. And the Word of God says there's none good, no, not one. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. So here's what God did. They can never make it on their own. But I love them so much. Glory. That I will send my own son. I will send myself to become one of them. Because I'm the only way they can come. I will sacrifice. I will walk on planet Earth and allow myself to get tired, to get hungry, to be tempted, to be tempted in all points like they are. But I will live a sinless life. Glory, this is blessing my heart. I'll live a sinless life. And I will go to the cross of Calvary. I will give my cheeks to the smiters. I will give my back to those that will rip it open. I will allow them to beat on me and mock me and ridicule me and reject me. And I'll go to the cross and I will have them nail me to a tree that I made, a tree that I created. I will make the materials that they will use to form the spikes. I will make the materials that they will use to form the hammer. I will give the soldiers who will nail me and reject me the strength to nail me to the cross, and I will hang there, and I will bleed, and I will die, because I love them, and I want them to live with me for all eternity. Have you accepted him? Have you trusted him? God forbid that anybody's here who says, I'm doing the best I can. Fooey on that! It took God! And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man will come to the Father but by me. But if you have trusted him, do you see how much he loved you? Do you see how much he cared about you? God forbid that we live our own life the way we want to live it and do our own things. Why don't we fall down in humble adoration and worship and say, God, who died in my place, I have received you as my Savior. I am through with my life. I'm done calling the shots. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. You left heaven for me. Surely I can give my life to you to do anything you want to do. He deserves that, friends. Have you made that decision? I'm simply introducing you this morning to the Word. Is he speaking to you today? Is the Word speaking to you? Then you need to respond. Amen, friends. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you this morning. Bless these who need to make decisions. God, would you help us? Help me to draw the net. Help me to bring it together in a way that you're pleased with. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I'm going to get this invitation started, and then we're going to proceed to the baptistry. But is there one here today, you say, Jody, I'm in this service. But this God who loved me so much that he came himself. This God who loved me so much that he enrobed himself in flesh so he could feel my pain, go through my suffering. This God who became flesh so that I could go to heaven with for all eternity. I don't know him as my Savior, but I sure would like to find out more. How many of you say, Jody, I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. I know I've trusted Christ. I know it. I don't hope so. I don't think so. I know so. I'm a born again child of God. How many of you all know that? Would you raise your hand? Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you for being honest. Is there one today say, Jody, I can't raise my hand to that, but I sure do wish I could. I sure do wish I could. Is there one like that? Would you raise your hand? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I wouldn't embarrass you for anything in the world. But if you today say, pray for me, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Would you put your hand up? Put it right back down. God bless you. Thank you. Put your hand up. Put it right back down. Anybody along with this one? Put your hand up. Put it right back down. Up in the balcony. Down below. You say, pray for me. I'd like to know the word. If you raise your hand to that, I'd like to invite you momentarily to this altar. We'll take a man with a man, a lady with a lady, and we'll help you. Don't be ashamed to come. You come. Bring somebody with you. If your mom or daddy's with you, bring them with you. So I want to go learn more about Jesus. Momentarily, you do that. Maybe today God's speaking to you because you're a Christian, but he's just reminded you today of how much he's done for you. God's saying, you know, you could give me more of your life. We all could do that, but maybe God has his finger on that. Why don't you come talk to God about it? I want to go ahead and dismiss all of those who are following the Lord in believers' baptism. I want you to go ahead and make your way. Ladies to my right, guys to my left, if you're following the Lord in believers' baptism, you go ahead and make your way that way, okay? Go ahead and make your way that way. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, help people to respond, I pray. In Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Look here, you have it.
We'll give you a couple of announcements, have our baptismal service, and we'll go. We want to remind our Sunday school teachers that this Wednesday night at 6:30, we do have a teacher's meeting, and hope you'll be there at 6:30 in the chapel. Let me mention a couple more things about the birthday. 2 weeks from today, if you do not know the foundation and background of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, you do not know why it is what it is today. And our goal here in 2 weeks in Sunday school will be to give you the background of this church. It's amazing what the Lord has done at this church, and I hope that you'll plan to be here at 10 o'clock. We'll have combined Sunday school, and you'll be seeing some pictures of great men of God that God has used in this church. And in fact, we have made arrangements for about six or seven of our former pastors to come and give firsthand experiences to you. And so you'll want to be here for that, see who those men are. We hope they'll all show up. But I tell you, folks, as I've been studying about the history of this church, it's amazing what God has done. Church has gone through some hard times. I don't want to tell you this because I don't want to spill the beans, so I'm not going to tell you the hard times. You'll find out in a couple of weeks. But hope you'll be here for that. And then, of course, we do have a afternoon service. No evening service. There will be an afternoon service. How many have never been to the original site of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? You've never been there. Oh, lots and lots of you. You'll have that opportunity. It'll be a short service, a time of prayer and testimony and praise. And we'll be taking our buses over there. About 2:30, you can get on the bus, ride on over there. There's limited parking. We'll need some men to help go clean that area up. We'll be talking about that in the future. But it'll be an exciting service, special service. Lord willing, if it doesn't rain, we'll have that over there, and that'll be a special time also. So making your plans for all of these things, inviting folks to come. Let's have a great day in 2 weeks. Gentlemen, you come, we'll receive the offering at this time. Lord, we do thank you for how our hearts have been reminded today about who Christ is and how Christ left heaven's glory to come and die for us. And Lord, help us as believers to love you with all of our hearts and to serve you with all of our lives. Bless this offering. Bless those who are about to be baptized and the conclusion of the service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Right, we are in the process here of baptizing 10 precious people. Praise the Lord for it. Upon their baptism, they're becoming members of this local church, and that's why the church votes on them to accept them. These folks have been dealt with. They've been screened, if you will, and making sure they understand salvation. So I'm just going to call all of their names off, and then we'll just make this a motion and vote all together. Joseph Green, Joey Garrett, Shannon Davis, Richard Greenwell, Matthew Davis, Jill Garrett, America Shannon, Blanca Shannon, Alessandra Shannon, and Isabella Greenwell. And all of these are wanting to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Could I get the pleasure of the church that we accept them into the membership of our church by baptism? Could I get the pleasure of the church on that, please? If somebody will make that motion. Brother Eugene, Brother Steve seconds. All in favor say aye and raise your hand high. I'm talking about members now. Okay, any opposed? Same sign. All right, so carry. This is Ilabella Greenwell. Upon your profession and faith in the Lord Jesus, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. This is Richard Greenwell, Jr. Appreciate you being here. God bless you. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. That's great. Okay. This is Alyssa Shannon. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, obedience to our Lord's command, baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. This is Matthew Davis. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to our Lord's command, baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. You pronounce your name Bianca, right? Great. If you'll turn and look right there. This is Bianca Shannon. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, in obedience to our Lord's command, baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. God bless you. That's a blessing. Amen. This is Joseph Green. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. God bless you. God bless you. This is America Shannon. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and the Son, blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. You've noticed these are three sisters that we've baptized, and one of them, if I'm right, I believe was saved during baseball and softball camp, Nick, and a couple of them, I believe, had trusted Christ in Bible school. I think I'm right with saying that. Is that correct? Yes. So Bible school and ball camp. And praise the Lord for that. This is my buddy here. This is Shannon Davis. The Lord's working in her life. Praise the Lord for it. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. Proud of you. Jill, Joey, if you'll come on down. It's thrilling to see all these people follow the Lord, no doubt about it. I've got a precious couple here. This is Joey and Jill. And the Lord has been good to them. And they have trusted the Lord as their Savior. Joey was saved in a church service here. And we had the privilege of going into the home and leading Jill to Christ. They have gone through the discipleship program. They are growing by leaps and bounds. And we are so thrilled to see it. We're so thrilled to see it. He's a military man, so I want him to stay on my good side, okay? All of this. But I wanted you to see them together here. This is a blessing to see this. And we honor them today. Honor all of these folks who are being baptized. God bless you. That's precious. Precious. So, Joe, if you don't mind, I'll have you stand back here. Jill, if you'll look that way. This is Jill Garrett. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Just bend your knees. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the new life. You'll stay right here. Okay? And this is Joey. This is my buddy. Amen. Glad. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. Proud of you. Amen. That's thrilling, isn't it? We give the Lord all the glory and all the praise. Thank the Lord for it. And we have done as the Lord Jesus has clearly commanded. And all of God's people said. I hope you're glad you came to see 10 people go into the baptistry. Praise the Lord for it. Please be back tonight. Let me remind those that are coming to the soul winning class, 5:45. Ordaining council, deacons and ordained ministers, 6:15. All of that in the blue room. And special service tonight, ordaining Brother Joe and honoring Mr. and Mrs. Seaman. So let's all stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer. I'm going to have Danny, if you don't mind, to make your way to the lobby. I'm sure our folks will want to speak to you. This will be the final time some of you get to see you. I'm going to ask Brother Eugene Radford, who had the privilege of he and his wife to disciple Joey and Jill. If you'll dismiss us in prayer, sir, please.